Cale Bigelow, I'm part of the agronomy department at Purdue University, and what I'd like to share with you today is one thing I've done to try and enhance the learning environment of the turf grass, the introductory turf grass class that I teach during the spring semesters. And you see several different authors on here. It certainly could not be possible without the graduate student support contributing to this project. The course that I teach is a 3-credit, typical 16-week, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, brain dump type of class, I guess is what you might characterize it as, offer a lot of information. And the whole thing that I talk to the students about is like the first day of class, and it's establishing some sort of relevance in the classroom. As I say, how many people think that they're going to own a home lawn someday? And about 99% of the people in there, I say, well, what we're going to learn about in this class is how to eventually take care of that lawn and how to do it properly. But again, intended audience here, we're trying to design the course to familiarize the students with all the different species and all the different cultural practices that you might use if you're going to maintain your own home lawn. Generally, the student population, attracts primarily sophomore students in our department, but it's also the other large population of the students are the landscape horticulture design students in the college. And then we'll occasionally get some folks from other parts of campus that will come in and take it as well. So I got a wide variety of learning styles. Some folks that are already starting to suffer from senioritis, spring semester, their senior year, and then some people that are in the heart of their career as well. Okay. Some of the things that we teach them are, what exactly is a turf grass, why they're important. We talk a little bit about the history of turf grasses and turf culture. We spend quite a bit of time on the principal lawn turf grass species. To a lot of people, it's all just green, and that's certainly not true. And one of the foundational principles when you think about sustainable systems is, right plant, right cultivar for that particular growing environment and its intended use. So we spend a bit of time on that. We talk about how different turf grasses grow, why do they grow the way they do. Some spread, some are more bunch-type grasses. And like I said here, how to establish and care for a sustainable home lawn in Indiana. Like many places throughout the United States, nutrient management issues are a pretty big thing. And one of the things that we focus on is trying to make sure that they understand what they're doing so they're not over-applying fertilizers and how that potentially can affect some other things. Okay. This is just an example of my syllabus. You see the first half of the course. We basically talk about how turf grasses grow. I spend quite a bit of time on the cool season turf grass species. We have an exam. We get into the warm season turf grass species and then start talking about cultural practices. In terms of the way that I grade the students, we have 3 in-class exams. I'll take the best 2 of the 3 exams because I get tired of the dog ate my homework, or hey, it's the Friday before spring break, or it's the Monday after spring break, or it's the Monday after Easter. So if you choose not to take one of those exams, fine. Okay, you get a 0 for that one, you can take the best 2 scores of the other exams. There's a comprehensive final exam. We do have periodic, my class is Monday, Wednesday, Friday at 9:30. For those of you that teach on Friday mornings, you may have noticed a slight decline in populations on certain occasions, so that's always a nice time to reward the folks that are coming to class, and so that ends up in the homeworks and quizzes. And then I added, this is about 3 years ago, I added these weekly Learning Resource Center assignments, which also account for 15% of your grade. Okay. My motivation for adding these assignments is, for a lot of students, I was getting these requests related to specialized topics, things like turf grass species identification. All the students in the turf grass science option take a woody landscape plants, where they actually go to the horticulture department and learn about the different trees and their genus and species and things like that. For the horticulture students, we teach about 12 to 14 specific grass species. And I was having several students that were asking me, hey, it's great that we talked about Kentucky bluegrass, or it's great that we talked about perennial ryegrass, but what does it look like? And, what's a rhizome and those kinds of things? And I wanted to try and facilitate some method for them to actually be able to come in physical contact with the grasses and get a chance to see them up close and personal. I get a lot of questions related to mowing equipment. Is a rotary mower, a reel mower, those kinds of things. What's best? So there's some information related to that. Like I said, calculations for fertilizer and seed are important, particularly fertilizers, not trying to get them to over-apply fertilizers. Interpreting pesticide labels. Weeds are a pretty big problem in lawns, and people don't understand the right products. They don't understand the difference between a selective and a non-selective herbicide, so we do something related to that. And I've had in recent years several folks asking about organic lawn care programs, so we actually have an opportunity for them to learn about that too. Like I said, I didn't want to burden the students with an extra laboratory. A lot of these things you could do in a laboratory setting, but at our university, it's getting more and more difficult to schedule everybody's classes, so I didn't want to add another two-hour lab to somebody's schedule. I also did not want to take up the valuable face-to-face time with these minor topics. We'll mention them every once in a while, but this is a way that they can learn a little bit more, and if they're really interested, then they can come by my office. I also wanted to reward our consistent students that are constantly working throughout the semester. And then, like anything, I had some space available, and I wanted to utilize that space to its fullest potential. The other thing is I teach a distance learning version of my course at the same semester. And a lot of that population has actually been people that can't schedule my course into their schedule, but they're on campus. So they can take this distance learning version, but they're also responsible for these assignments. So this is a way to actually get them physically close to me in the building, because the resource center is actually right across the hallway from me, and then they can talk to me in case they need some more clarification for the things that they're learning online. So here's the Learning Resource Center. It's worth 15% of their grade. Here's all the different topics that we go through the week. They can come in anytime during that week and do their assignment, and then they just simply turn it in, and they can do it at their own pace. Here's the cool season grasses, warm season grasses. Here's a little thing on organic lawn care, talking about maintenance equipment, and then a little bit more about pests and diseases. This is the Learning Resource Center. So they encounter something that looks like this, and each week there's a poster. Each week there's some sort of tactile information, whether it's grass plants or seed or something along those lines. There's a little worksheet they have to fill out. It usually doesn't take them more than about 20, 30 minutes at most to do this. And the last thing they do is they have to put it in this box. You'll notice this little lock on the box. The first year there wasn't a lock on the box. And one of the things that we noticed was for things like the seed label calculation or the fertilizer label calculation is we had students that would come in and the previous students would fill it out and they would grab that one and then they'd fill that out and hand it in. So they weren't doing their own work, and that was kind of frustrating, but it is what it is. Here's an example of proper species selection. A lot of the seed that we find in the lawn and garden centers has a lot of annual ryegrass in it. It makes you look like a hero for about 14 days. After that, it's not so good, and you need to understand what these things look like so you can select the correct grass for your lawn. Lots of people trying to establish their own lawns from seed, and it's a little bit easier said than done. But if you do it properly, it's really not that bad. And again, just trying to give them a lot more information so they can have the lawn of their dreams, if you will. Here's an example of one of the posters. There's identification characteristics for this. This happens to be the warm season grasses. Some information in terms of strengths and weaknesses. And we've covered these things in class, but what we're basically trying to do is reinforce the things and let them see it again. Here's an example of one of our fine students evaluating a turf grass plant in a pot, and here's some more getting up close and personal. So again, an opportunity without really intruding into their daily schedule with a laboratory that they can go and learn some more about these things. Here's an example, classic example in our part of the world where we have some cool season grasses where a cable line had been installed in someone's backyard and they simply selected the wrong species. Now this homeowner is going to have to look at that for the next 20, 30, 40 years, or however long they live in that house. And if they would have known what they were actually planting, rather than planting Kentucky 31 tall fescue, they would have something that would have matched up a little bit better. Okay, here's an example, pesticide selection. This is somebody simply not knowing the difference between a non-selective and selective herbicide. Again, reinforcing, you don't apply Roundup to your dandelions. We have something called 2,4-D-like products that can selectively take it out and leave the desirable grasses. So again, trying to get them to be not overwhelmed when they go to the garden centers. Because you go into a garden center to buy turf grass seed, and this is what you see, this shelf, this huge long shelf of what's the best thing. And eventually the individual that goes in there, they're price conscious. They buy the cheapest thing that's there. And then you end up with something like annual ryegrass, and you become dissatisfied. So we spend some time, these are things that I touch on in lecture, but where they can actually spend a little bit more time if they're really interested in the Learning Resource Center and learn about things like the seed label and what's on the seed label, how to calculate things like pure live seed and making sure that they're doing the right things for their home lawn. And they'll see things like this showing up on their exams as well, some of these calculations. And if they have trouble with it, again, I'm accessible right across the hallway and we can work through some things. Okay. So does it work or not? The way that I tried to assess that is I anonymously surveyed the students at the end of the last 2 years during the spring semester. And I gave them five questions related to the supplemental assignments. And the students that happened to be in class that day were populations of 35 and 22. Typically, my class hovers between 40 and 60. I surveyed using a modified Likert scale, that's for Dr. Fidanza, with response options of agree, not sure, and disagree for each statement. So here's the questions. The out-of-class assignments were a valuable addition to the course, and you can see here's our responses, agree, not sure, disagree, and years 2006 and 2007, and this is percent of respondents. And the second question, overall the supplemental exercises helped me to better understand the lecture materials. You can see that at least 70% or more of both of those class populations felt like these assignments did help them to understand the material in the classroom. Get to the next questions, and the out-of-class assignments took up too much of my time. We had more than 70% disagreed that they took up too much of their time. My class is also taught in this building, so they're already there, at least Monday, Wednesday, Friday, assuming that they're coming to class. So for them after class or before class to go by and spend 20 minutes is really not that big of a deal. And I also asked them if similar out-of-class assignments should be used the following year, and you can see certainly the first year more than 90% of the students felt like they should be added, and in the second year almost 70% still felt like they should be added. So this seems like at least the feedback for the students that attended class and took the survey was relatively positive for this type of an exercise. Okay. The last thing here. The out-of-class assignments improved my overall course grade. You can see that more than 70% of both of the populations at least perceived that these assignments were improving their grade. This is something that's a little bit difficult to measure, though, because I wasn't giving sort of the pre-test, post-test, those kinds of things. Like I had mentioned, with things like maybe a fertilizer calculation where they would do something in the Learning Resource Center or seed calculation, they've worked through something like that and they get a graded assignment back. All right. We don't actually do that in class, so I can't really tell if they're learning it or not learning it in a pre-test, post-test situation. So this is where it was really a little bit difficult to put together data for this particular talk. When I looked at grades for the students, and what I did is I looked at the way that I was grading, you know, taking the two best exams, 15% for quizzes and homeworks, and 15% for the Learning Resource Center exams. If I took out this 15% for the Learning Resource Center assignments, and I allocated that, split it, and put it into their two best exams. In general, the scores before the final were rarely more than one percentage point difference. So if somebody had an 88% not taking the Learning Resource Center assignments, they sometimes had like an 87% when they took the Learning Resource Center assignments. So it's difficult to see what was happening there. But what I did see is those students that were not doing the Learning Resource Center assignments, it certainly hurt them. And I was very upfront with them early on in class. I was like, these are my expectations. You're going to take two exams. We're going to do quizzes and homeworks. And there's also these out-of-class supplementary assignments you can do or choose not to do. And in this particular situation, this is a student's grade pre-final. If they did not do the Learning Resource Center assignments and I didn't count it, they would have had a 79, almost 80% before the final. Where they were not doing these Learning Resource Center assignments, they had almost a 70% grade in the class. And that's primarily due because they're not doing the assignments. So they're losing a substantial portion of their overall percentage of their grade. My guess for this type of a student is that it's probably someone that is close to graduation and is not willing to put in a lot of time into the class at that point. Okay. So in summary, what did the students think? They responded that overall, related to these assignments, they were valuable and improved the overall course experience. They increased their understanding of the course content. They did not take up too much of their time. They should be utilized again into the future, and they perceived that they improved their overall course grade. Okay. For this type of arrangement, where I have generally around 50 or 60 students, it works fine. I have a graduate teaching assistant that helps me with grading these and creating the posters and those kinds of things, and it doesn't seem like it's too much of a burden on our time. And the biggest thing that I liked about this, because this is the way that I learn, experiential learning is important, and certainly with at least learning what the different grasses look like, or at least learning what different seeds look like, I think is an important aspect of turf grass management. Because like I said, most everyone that takes my class will eventually probably own a home lawn and will eventually end up in some sort of a garden center. And if they're confused, they can call or email me or look back in one of their textbooks. And then the big advantage is that we did not have to schedule an extra laboratory that would intrude in their course scheduling. With that, here's your potential perfect lawn.
Okay, thanks, Cale. Unfortunately, we don't have time for questions right now. I'm sure you can speak with him later, though.